Well, dear people, you've heard it in several occasions mentioned this morning that there's a wonder of the Lord God that we come here on a new year, and basically the first day of the new year is a day of worship before our God. I guess really any Sunday would be good for a new year, but it happens that we have this first Sunday, which we have the Lord Jesus Christ and the thought of him as our Lord and Savior. We have the Supper of Remembrance before us, which we were to partake in to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. It was him who said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And you've often heard me say that sometimes we find ourselves doing a remembrance of Jesus Christ by looking back at his death, which is good. But I believe that I've also mentioned to you there's many things we can look in, this, in the scriptures and find ourselves really given the real remembrance of Christ and who he is. The whole Bible itself brings us a whole abundance of scriptures and texts that we can use in order to remember Christ. What I always like to do is to bring something that will cause us to take some part of our lives and what we do day by day and how he lived and see if we can just look at that and how our lives, what we do, can affect us in the way we even live before Christ and remember him. And in that aspect, one of the delights of our lives is a delight of our family is seeing those who we are united to. And sometimes we look at that with those who are around us and we speak to day by day. And as we see ourselves growing, especially you young ones can relate to this, we see ourselves going, we begin to see some of the traits, some of the idiosyncrasies, some of the characters of those who are before us. It may be that the parents are right there in the house with us, and we're saying to ourselves, you know what, I begin to act something like Dad. I just said something, and he's been saying that to me for years and years. Or even I'm looking like, or I do this like Mommy, or whatever the case may be. Or we may have occasions where we look into a photo album, and we look at those who have gone on. If need be, or possibly, we see grandparents or aunts and uncles, and we look at that person, and we can see how much we look at a person who's gone on before us. And we begin to think back about that person. And someone could say to us at times, and I've said to my sister who is here, you know, you look like so-and-so, or you sound like so-and-so, what are you doing? But in the sense of that, we can think in ourselves how we are so united to those who we are in the same family with. And this is the very thing that I want to bring to us today. And that is the whole idea of union with Christ. We are united to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder how often we really think about that. And do we bring that to the right thinking in our minds? If we are united with some, what do we do and how do we live for those? What do you do right now if you find out that you were so united with someone else in the past? Do you think about that person and you think about what you're going to do to really to bring more and more delight in your heart by that person, or when someone sees you and say, you look like so-and-so, to really bring to that person's mind a sense of even glorifying that person, because here that trait has come all the way down to you, and here it is now. You're living out that, and you're so much like your grandfather or so on. Now, I know we like to hear that, especially if it's in good manner. Some of us, when we have some people that have gone on before us, we don't want to hear you like him or like her. But in the good part of it, we do like to hear that. And so the very thing that we like is they're actually having a union with Christ. What we ought to think about is this morning, looking at the Lord Christ and looking at who he is. And what does the Bible say about a Christian and his or her connection to the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe when we here have the Supper of Remembrance and we look back and we say here, Christ died for us. And how are we united to Christ? What things do we do? What thing is there about us to be united to Christ? Now, I know I'm not saying something to you that is new to you, but you would probably find and agree with me. This subject of union with Christ is something that is plastered upon the scriptures before us. And it comes to us in a powerful way, and it actually has something, a lot, I should say, to say to us about who we are and what this union with Christ is. And I'm only going because it is a meditation. I'm not going to go in too much depth, but I want to bring out something for you that you and I can hold on to as we come to the Lord's table thinking of him. First of all, what I want to say to you, now union with Christ, you and I may say as we look to our loved ones who have gone on, we may say to the, concerning them, I look like him or her, but they've gone on. And when did you begin to look like him? You may even begin to say something like, you know, as I'm getting older, I'm looking more and more like a certain one. But when I come to our union with Christ, I'm using the word our duration of that union. And you probably can understand what I mean. But did we begin to look like Christ when we began to grow up or something? Or did we begin to look like Christ when we got saved? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Our duration, here the Apostle Paul is saying as he writes to the Ephesian Christians about that salvation that they have, and he can do and open up a wonderful truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is to all of us, and especially to him. He says in verse 3 of chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, blessed be our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, when you see the phrase in Christ, it means that we are united with Christ. We are connected to him. And notice how it goes on. Just as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Before him. Now here, the Apostle Paul is saying, we were united with Christ in eternity past. We were in him, he's saying. You did not come where Christ finally he came to the earth and he looked at all the people about and he says, well, I'm going to save that one. I'm going to get connected to him or her. No, here Paul says, you were in him before the foundation of the world. You and I ought to think of it this way. We were actually in Christ, united to Christ, before he said, let there be light. Before God let his purposes be known upon this creation, you who are saved were in him. You were chosen by God in Christ. You were connected to the Lord Jesus Christ before you ever came upon the face of the earth. And this is what is said. This he makes it clear that salvation and living according to God for those who was is according to God's purpose before you ever came into existence. Those who were God's purpose according to the, his love and his mercy and his purpose given to him all the way down to verse 11 is what was done from, we could use the word, from the outset. Now we don't know what that time and period was. John says in his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Wherever you can mark it as a beginning, in the beginning, the believer was in Christ. He was there, she was there, from the foundation of the world. When he purposed creation, those who would be saved were in Christ Jesus, united to Christ. See, little more than the fact that you and I are united to our ancestors and so it go down. And it basically, you figure we came out as we were born and we saw our attachment to them. But here in Christ, we find out that this is something that was done by God in the beginning. God purposed to save. He purposed to save a people for himself. And how did he do that? And what did he start with that salvation work? He actually had a group of people that he put in Christ Jesus. They were in him. He chose us in him. And meaning that, again, that salvation was now something that was connected to Christ and who he is. So when we look at it, first of all, as a duration, we can say, in the beginning, or we can say it the way the scripture says about God, from eternity past to eternity present. No time are the believer ever outside of Christ. You see, this does away with the whole idea that you can get saved and then you can get lost. I remember a lot of times people saying that, you know, as I grew up and first became saved, you know, you can lose your salvation. You can't if you are in Christ. And I believe the duration helps us to see one thing about it. If God, Christ so loved us, God so loved us, and he actually connected us in his Son in the from the foundation of the world or before, how will we ever be fallen away from Christ? Can you be taken from Christ? Can you be lost? Can you be those who are no longer with him? The scriptures teach us here, no, that is not the case. The duration. But also I can bring to you what I'm calling its nature. What is the nature of union with Christ? Well, one thing for sure, as we look at it here, and if Christ loved us and he will have chosen him from the foundation of the world, it cannot be physical, can it? It can't be something that is natural to us. It's more than that. And here we come into a part where it's really hard for us to understand. Union with Christ is spiritual. It is called a mystical union, meaning that the bond that the union is of the Holy Spirit. Notice with me, turn to Romans chapter 8. While you're turning, I'm just going to recite some part from Romans chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." But notice in Romans chapter 8, and listen to this, and I know you've read this passage, you know much about it, but notice what the Apostle Paul says. Now remember here, he starts off this passage that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I want you to think about it. Every time you read that, in Christ Jesus, what that really means. That doesn't mean in him with some kind of a like-minded thinking. Not in him like, you know, you're in agreement with him. His thing is speaking about this is a spiritual, mystical union in Christ. And in Romans 8, notice, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, you see, here's what the apostle is saying. Basically, what happens, that connection, what connection connects you to Christ? It is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God dwells in you. So this very connection, it is a spiritual, mystical union. It is a union of the Holy Spirit in the believer. Paul goes on, if Christ is in you through the body, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Apostle says there's a new life that has come to you. That life is a new life in Jesus Christ that has happened. Now, this happens in time and space, but the apostle can say that the difference that has taken place here now, that you are living in a different way. You're living in a way because now you're guided by the Spirit. That's why he can say, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You're motivated. You're living. Your life is now guided by your spiritual connection to Christ, not by your flesh. Now, that doesn't mean that the flesh has no power and has no control over you. It will. It will control us. And what he's saying here, the flesh is that part of us which is humanity. And what does humanity want? It wants to please itself. It wants to do those things that give me fun and pleasure on earth. He says, so now you're no longer there. You're in Christ. By the Spirit, because the Spirit is in you. You are now guided by a different principle. There's a life that's in you that was not alive for a time, but now it is real. It's alive. It is the very thing that motivates you. And that is your connection to Christ. He goes on. Verse 10. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Paul says that now there's something different. You remember, you go back to the fall of mankind. What took place then? Man was connected to God in the garden. But the sin that he did and disobeying God, it disconnected him from him. Now that disconnection was really a spiritual union and connection with God. He lost his relationship to God. He no longer had that same relationship. And it was seen by the first thing he would do, he ran from God when God came. Every person who is dead in their sins, it runs from God. When God comes in every aspect, there are you who are right here now sitting, and I'm preaching here, and it says things about God, there's certain things you're keeping out of your mind about God. That's the running. Little children, don't say to yourself, well, I don't need that. Teenager, don't say, you know what, I don't want to have anything to do with Christ and God and Christianity and all like that. Really, it's again, you're running. You see, the flesh makes us do that. The flesh makes us go to the opposite direction of God. That's why repentance makes us turn and go towards God. So Paul says here, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And he goes on. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Paul is saying, the flesh doesn't rule you anymore. The flesh doesn't say, hey, you do this, and you have to bow to the flesh. No more obligations. You have nothing at all that you have to do for the flesh. You're not under that obligation. He goes on, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You notice how the Apostle Paul saying down this line completely here is that you have the indwelling Holy Spirit in you. And the connection to Christ, as it's a spiritual connection, your connection to Christ by the Spirit. By the Spirit. And he goes on, verse 14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That new life in Christ, that life in Christ, that union with Christ is united by the Spirit. And he says, and he can go on, he can say that this is the very idea where we look at and we see that how we call those who are Christians, Christians. Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. You see, the nature of it is not. And we will look at it and we can say, well, how can I see right now that I'm united to Christ? Is there something in me? Do I see something that as I see in my parents, that basically what I have is that I look like him? No, he's saying something here. First of all, do not look at this in a natural sense. Because we could doubt that. And sometimes even in our own lives, as we're walking and we're living, and certain things take place, it's not the way off the mark for a believer to begin to doubt his or her salvation. We're wondering, what is it? How come I've changed? How come I'm not what I used to be? How come I'm no longer what I said I was? Did something happen? Did God do something? Did he take away his Spirit? And you know, some of you, maybe by age, that there are places that teach right now. You can get saved and you can get lost. You can be in Christ, now you're out of Christ. Scripture doesn't teach that. The duration, we know, is from the beginning to the end. And also, its nature, it is a spiritual connection with Christ. It's not something that basically look at this and we say that I can see my connection to Christ through my nature, but it's through the spiritual connection with Christ. Now, there's something I have to say at this point also. Now, the duration I indicated was from eternity past to to eternity present. Now, that does not mean that the person who is in Christ, you're going to see all along the way that they're in Christ. We spoke about something in Sunday school this morning. Well, Paul is speaking here about the elect. They are elect. They belong to him. But do you know who they are? No. They are, as all of us, they're wicked, walking in this world right now. But they don't know that spirit connection, that mystic union to Christ until the gospel comes to them. And this is clear also. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Paul makes it clear that every person who is going to be saved, who are elect, we can say, in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world, that person may not have anything that you and I would see to believe that that is their case. And as we said in Sunday school, that's why you never stop praying for your wicked lost loved ones. Because it's God who does it. Notice what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Who are they talking to? Believers, right? In the church at Ephesus. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires or the will of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. The Apostle Paul is not saying here now, you're in Christ. The duration, even when Christ, before he came to the world, before the world was created, you're in Christ. Now that doesn't mean that you had favor and all the blessings of God as you walked in this world. No, we were just like everybody else. They didn't know who we were. Another child of God, maybe you went to school with, a Christian, a teenager or something, he looked at you and you probably was the worst person in the world. And he would probably put a sign over you, bound for hell. And some of us, that's what it would look like. But we didn't know that we were connected to Christ, even at that very time. And so Paul can say here, we walked just like the rest of the world. We did everything. We loved the sins of this world. We lived and wallowed in everything that we could do. He says in verse 4, but God, being rich in his mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. What is this great love with which he loved us? Did he look down upon planet Earth and he saw you and I walking around? He says, boy, that's a wonderful guy there. I love him. Boy, that's a wonderful young lady. You know what? I'm going to put my love on him. That love he had was when he put us in Christ. And that love that put us in Christ is now coming in action in life for you and I. He loved us even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. Made us alive together with Christ, in Christ. Now, as human beings, you and I have the very fruit of our connection, our union in Christ. You see, as far as the reality of it, the duration of it, let us not think that everyone who come in this place, basically, you know, you can look at a person and tell that he or she is a Christian or the elect of God because look how they live wonderful lives. No, that's not the case. The Apostle Paul said, I was the chief of sinners, the foremost, the front runner. You heard me say, Paul was saying, if you line up every sinner, from Adam on down to when it ends, I'll be in the front line. Front of the line, I'll be the drum major. I'll be marching along because all the sins that I committed. I wasn't worthy of it. But Paul can say here, but you're in Christ. You're union. You have a union with Christ. You're with him. And you'll be with him for all eternity. You know, the wonderful part about it is that you'll never be taken out of Christ. The duration, the nature. But now what about the reality? You see, the Bible does one another thing also. It tells us this is a situation. It tells us the fact that there's union with Christ. And that union with Christ was even from the foundation, before the foundation of the world. It tells us what that unity in Christ is all about. But it also tells us the reality of union in Christ. And what we find here is that we can see that the living of the Christian life and our ongoing sanctification are all because of our union with Christ Jesus. There are many people who join churches and they're trying their best to live a Christian life, but they think they'll get too far. And because they're not united to Christ. But union with Christ produces what ought to be produced. Here I want to take you to some text and just open it up briefly. Again, because of the interest of time. First of all, it says that we are united to him in his death. I read that portion to you in verse chapter 6 of Romans, the book of Romans. Notice what it says here. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. And why is that the case? Because Paul could say on the other verses before that, you died with Christ, you were buried with Christ, and all that shows your union in Christ Jesus. And so therefore, you united to him in death. When he died, he's saying that we ourselves, as that human being that is living in all our fleshly ways, we died to that, and now we live a new life, which is a spiritual life, unto Christ Jesus. And so that new life we have is now we're living differently. And so, brethren, the scriptures tell us over and over again, put off the old man, put on a new man. In other words, here is the old. And he's not telling you to try your best to become a Christian or to act like a Christian. The reality is the old man loves sin. The new man now loves righteousness. So put further and further that old man away from you and follow the new man in righteousness. He can say that because now you can do it. Paul says there's a war goes on inside us now. And that war is that the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And how can he can say the spirit? We were dead in our trespasses and sin. Spiritual life was gone. We had no connection to God in that sense. Now, we have our own soul, which is a spiritual part of us, but that was disconnected from God. Now it's connected. And Paul says, since it is, there's going to be this fight going on until you are taken into heaven. So basically what he says, you got this fight coming. Here's the flesh. Do this. Live this way. Enjoy this. And here's the Spirit of God saying, no, live like Christ. Be like Christ. Read his word. Follow him. He is your example. He is now who you should look at and see what you look like. Look in the album, you see Grandpop. You see this and that one. Yeah. But he now, you look in the scriptures, you see Christ. And this is who you ought to look like. But he says, first of all, we died with him. In other words, we died to this life, to what we have here, what we want to do here, and everything we think is fine to us and whatever we want to decide to do. But not only that, redemption and forgiveness of sin is because we're in Christ. And that's back in the Ephesians chapter 1. What is all this that the apostle is saying? In Ephesians, he's saying to them, What is this blessing that God gives, this purpose, you know, verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He chose us in love. He predestinated us as to the adoption of his sons through Jesus Christ. In verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his grace. It is in union with Christ that we have this redemption through his blood. No one, if you're not in union with Christ, can ever say that they have redemption in Christ Jesus Christ. No, they can't. But we can, and we know that is the case. And Paul goes over it and basically indicates this, that it is through Christ and Christ alone that we have this real change. We are sanctified people, set apart unto God for God's service because we are in Christ. Flip your page over, chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. He says, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. When did he prepare them? Beforehand. You see, dear people, we have to think about this. God is not looking at you right now and kind of like deciding what you're going to be. He's not just taking one step after another. He's already prepared beforehand what you're going to be. And just to say that in a blanket sense, he prepared that you would bring forth good works to the glory and honor of himself. And sometimes we think about, you know, who we are and what God is doing for me and the benefit which falls to me. God is concerned about the benefit which falls from you. He prepared you for good works for himself. You're going to be showing off the glory and honor of God, not what BB is and what he looks like or what Sally Sue, who she is. No, it's God. And it's all for God, not for us. Sanctification is that life where you and I grow more and more in the likeness of Christ. We begin to look more like him and act more like him. We study his word. We begin to see his very complexion, as it were, upon the pages of scripture. We begin to see that we are like him. We are told we ought to be those who will grow up into the likeness of Christ. What is God doing us? He's preparing us and making us to his very image. And how is he doing that? Through his spiritual way that he is sanctifying us more and more. Jesus said in John's gospel, lest my word abide in you and you in my word, you can do nothing. In Christ. And here's what he's saying. Our eternal security. You know, people say, well, you know, you can get lost. They believe it and they really hold on to the fact that a believer can get lost. You know, you trust Christ as your Savior, but you really can get lost. But does the Bible say that? And here's what he says. You need not turn to Romans 5 and 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through this death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Saved by his life. Not by ours, not what we do. People think you got to do and do and do, and then you'll be all right with God. Remember, you're in Christ, and you're going to produce that which, because God has made it where you will bring forth good works. And basically, we look at the same verse. We can look at and say about the resurrection of Christ. We look back at Romans chapter 6. We see that we will be raised with him because we're in him. And when was Christ raised? He was raised from the dead when he was taken down off the cross and put. So we'll be raised with him. And so as he himself then was raised, in a sense we were raised with him, what's going to keep us from entering into heaven when these bodies lay in the grave and we shall be resurrected? What's going to keep us? Nothing. Glorification is indicated too, the very thing you and I are going to have. And all this is, again, because we are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 again, and I'll just read it to you. Verse 17, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. There are nothing in this whole line, and I only have a few texts here. If you read them, there's nothing that tells us that the child of God will ever be, shall I say it, unlike Christ, or no more united to Christ, nothing whatsoever. Amen. Now, here's what I believe. This becomes helpful to you and I today. We come here, and we have the supper of remembrance before us, the elements. You know, do this in remembrance of me. What are the best things that we ever did in remembrance of one of the loved ones who's gone on before us? We tried our best to live up to the standard of that loved one. Have you ever done that? I mean, you got a person who was a great person, what he or she did. You would do nothing to disdain that person's name. You understand that you've come down the line and here you are. And if you look up and these are the way the people were, you want to be the same, do the same. You want to not have it where people look at you and say, you his grandson or granddaughter? Come on. Well, what happened to you? Well, the same way with Christ. This is what comes upon us as believers. Do we want to do anything to shame the name of Christ? I know you don't. Well, what you and I ought to be doing is say, I am united to Christ, and therefore I should live, and all should see me that I look like I'm united to Christ. Well, a man on the radio this morning, he says, he heard one guy, he said, there's five gospels. The four gospels in the book of the Bible, and you are the other one. And we heard this many years ago. I mean, he was right. He was right. You know what he's saying? He said, a lot of people won't read this, but they read you. They read you. I'm a Christian. Now they're watching you, and they're looking and seeing what you're doing. And are you really displaying the gospel in your life? Will they look at you and see, I believe Jesus is like this? Or are they saying, if that's what a Christian is, I'm glad I don't go to church. How many times have you heard it? People say they don't go to church because they're nothing but you hypocrites in church anyway. And that's right in many cases. But see, we should not worry about cases out there. We should worry about ourselves. When I walk into the world is going to see a man who expresses to love and to live after Jesus Christ. What are they going to see? What will they be able to say? I don't think I'm far any different from many of you. When I'm outside and going into the store and everything, you know what I say? And I guess probably I'm a little different in this sense. The way I treat people, the way I act, the way I speak, the way I carry myself, I say, you know what? I don't know if that person may one day wind up coming into this church. And then they see the preacher stand up. That guy's a preacher? Right out the door. I better display Christ. And I better display Christ in everything I do. And that weighs on me. Because what I do and how I live, it goes back to Christ Jesus. And I say so. I say kind words. I try to be kind words for everybody. I try to, even if you just look at me, I try to make you know I'm not down there like I'm cool, I'm bopping along somewhere, you know. Look at this guy. Who is he supposed to be? He's 70 years old. He's trying to act like he's 16. How do you listen to somebody acting like that? And another thing, too, I don't wear suits every day, but I try to dress in a way that people kind of look at you and say, you know, okay, you know, he's casual. But he'll look like some fool walking down the street. Dear people look at you. You've known those in your life who are connected to you. You've told them in some kind of way. They tell you you told them that you're a Christian. Believe me, they're watching you. They're watching you. I've heard some accounts of people that heard other people who were saved. They said, oh boy, that guy better go to church. He need a lot of prayer. And what are they saying about you? What are they saying when you're out of their earshot or eyeshot? What determination have they made in their mind because of the way you walk and the way you are? And brethren, what do your own family say about you? That's very important. We pray that God would save cousin, grandchildren, whatever. But what do they say about you? Here I am, a Christian. That's what it is. I don't know. We had that very incident before God brought us to the truth of the Reformed faith. the churches that we went to. One very close to me, I won't say who she is, but we wear the same ring. She looked at the preacher's wife in the church. She said, look, she wasn't saved then. Thank God she didn't hold out. And she said, if that's what being a Christian means, I don't want to be a Christian. Are people looking at us and making a determination about Christ and about Christianity? Dear people, there's a lot in the world that goes on right now that really does not measure up to biblical Christianity. But let it never be that we become one of those who make a person say, I don't want it. I don't care how close the person are to us. I don't care if we don't even know them, but they see them. Let it never be a person would say, I don't want Christ because of him or her. What's the best thing we can do here? Do this in remembrance of me. I want to remember my Savior, who he is, how he walked, how he lived. I want to remember him by committing myself afresh to him and walk and live as he did. And that makes a fresh commitment for 2017. You see, the thing about it is that being saved, we know God is not going to knock us off because we had, you know, ups and downs in the past year. But can't we look at 2017, which is in front of us, and say, I want to be more like Jesus in this year? And can't we say, I want to see him on the pages of Scripture, and I want to read about him more and more, and I want to see what the Scriptures has to say to me. I want to see what the direction and instructions of how I should be like a man or woman or even a young person of faith, and I want that to happen. I want to show that to the world. First, I want to show it to Christ Jesus that I do this in remembrance of him. And I live in remembrance of him. I take my union with Christ as very important so he can look down and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And the world can say, there goes a man, a woman, boy or girl, who is like Christ. I have an understanding who Christ is now because I watch him or her. Brethren, when we come here, let's come here for that purpose. Lord, I'm going to look to your word. I want to be more and more like Jesus. And not be so concerned of being more and more of myself. You know what the world is doing today? They believe that I should express more and more of who I am. And you see how raggedy it's going. More and more, this is what I want to be. You know? So what? I got a man's body, but I want to be a woman right now. You know, that's where it comes from. I want to express who I am. Dear children of God, we sometimes want to express who we are. Let's express who we are in Christ Jesus. Let us pray.